At the heart of Edinburgh City is Greyfriars Church and Cemetery. But what many visitors don't realise is that it hides one of Britain's most horrific sites of human cruelty.
And we're back. It's episode 31.
31. Rolling along.
Episode 31.
What's this episode?
I should do like, you know what I should do?
What'd
I should do like, you know, remember how, like, this is how old we are. Remember back in the old days when Casey Kasem had the top 40?
No, I didn't see
and, it. And it was on the radio. Yeah. And like every time like a number came up and stuff like that, they'd be number 75. So it's like they I feel like I should start doing that now. And everyone listening is like, please don't do that.
Yeah, like, don't
please,
do it. Don't
please
do
don't do
it.
That.
No,
I'm not going to.
Let's not take
it.
Us back there.
Okay, anyway, this is episode 31.
Yeah, what's
and,
it about?
Well, we did kind of a couple of unpleasant shows the last couple weeks,
okay.
You know, necrophiles, serial killers, whatnot.
Yeah.
This one is a little more fun, I guess.
Okay.
Well, sort of. Probably not for the people involved, but, you know, it's kind of more of a fun paranormally type of topic, mm-hmm. I guess.
What's it called?
The what?
Well, damn. I asked you like four times, what's the name of this damn
Don't
thing?
Don't be a douche, man. We're only
no,
like
I'm gonna
one
be a
minute
douche.
In.
No, I'm
yeah,
just
you
saying.
Are. Okay.
What's this one about?
We are going to talk about Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh,
okay.
Scotland, the most haunted cemetery in Scotland. Specifically, we're going to talk about the entity, or whatever it is, called the Mackenzie Poltergeist.
Okay. And you wrote about this for the new book that's coming out, right? This is
yes.
one of the cases, right?
Okay. Yes. That's another thing.
All right.
So, yeah, my new book will be out soon. The print version is done. The ebook version is done. I'm just working on recording the audio version. And I think I mentioned it before, but it's called The Unseen Hand.
Yeah.
And it has, like...
Over 100,
like, poltergeist-type cases.
Right.
And one is actually in there. I wrote a couple pages about
it. This is a huge book. It's like 400 and something pages. You know, that's the print version. So this is like big old fat book.
Big old fat
big
book.
Big old fat book. Yeah.
About poltergeists.
It's going to be a good one. People are going to like this one.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Before we get into this, let's talk about what's been going on the podcast. Because the podcast has been exploding the past couple weeks.
Yes.
We went from like 1,000 total downloads on that thing. And in a period of about, a couple of weeks, we're down to like 5,000 downloads out of nowhere.
Yeah, our downloads doubled.
They like doubled.
This
yeah.
month from last month.
And they're probably on, they almost look like they're in line to possibly triple. It almost looks like exponential growth.
Yeah, which is
and,
awesome.
And of course, that's because of Armand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Armand's really doing a really good job with...
Project Entertainment Network. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Armand Rosamilia.
We'd also like to do a shout out to all the other podcasters because turns out, evidently according to Armand, they're all listening to our shows.
Which is very funny because
yeah.
when we first started this show, I mean, like you said, we kind of started it when we met Armand and we kind of started it like sort of as a lark.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one's going to listen to our stupid rambling.
We met at a book signing, us
yeah.
and Armand.
Yeah.
I want to tell... people who Armand is, because
yeah.
they may not who
Armand Rosamilia, he does the Armcast podcast, and he's on a few other, he's a horror writer.
Yeah, well-known horror writer.
Yeah, and we met him at a book signing at Gods and Monsters here in Orlando, big comic
yeah.
book store, and he's a super cool guy.
Yeah, yeah, we got along with him real well, and he's like, man, you know what, you guys need to be on a podcast, you know, and he invited us on, so this is... And we, you know, we were like, yeah, well, you know, if we do it, we're going to do a good job, but we don't really care if anything comes of it. And I guess that's how things began.
Yeah.
Or you can become, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of taken off. That's pretty neat. It's funny though, you know, cause you could tell the demographics are very different. If you look on our YouTube show, on our YouTube channel, our shows that had guests like Dr. Robert Price and the AGP, The hits on those are fantastic. Some of them, you know, they have like 6,000 views on some of them. I think one of them is approaching 5,000. The other one, I think, is approaching 6,000. And, you know, that sounds like a lot. But then if you go to our podcast numbers.
Yeah, the audio podcast.
Yeah, those shows are just the same as all the other shows. It's kind of, it's weird. You can tell.
Yeah, it's two different demographics, I think, for the people that listen to us on YouTube and the people that listen to us on Project Entertainment. It really seems like, which is kind of good. It's kind of why we sort of go all over the place, like with the topics. I mean,
we don't know who's listening. There's a big difference.
Yeah, and like I said, we don't necessarily pick topics because, oh, we think people like that.
Right.
Not usually. We usually just, like, you know, we want to do stuff that we are interested in talking about.
And then to the American audience here, you know, to you guys, we look at what's happening on the podcast, to the demographics of who's downloading. We got a lot of them from, like, Australia and Ireland and
Turkey.
Turkey. You know, weird.
Places like that. Which,
yeah, we never expected that.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty big international audience also.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Right, yeah. And they seem to like things that we didn't expect. Like things that on YouTube that were kind of dud shows.
Yeah.
Went over real well on podcasts.
Yeah. Like I said, you never really know what's going to hit.
Never can tell.
Like I said, that's why I don't really care. I just kind of pick a topic at random and just be like, yeah, we can talk about that for a little
while. Biggest dud we did was the UFO show. Even though that was one of my favorites. I don't know why they didn't get it. Well,
see,
now,
that's what I see. I try to tell you because, see, Tom is super into UFOs. He loves UFOs.
Just some of the cases, not all of them.
He always wants to watch, like, UFO documentaries and stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, that is so boring.
No.
Well, they're not. I mean, some of them are not boring, but most of them are the same thing. It's like, I walked outside and I saw a light in the sky. And then 4 hours later, I just woke up and I had my butt.
Well, I like the ones with the, I like the ones with the triangles that the cops see.
Yeah.
And like Phoenix lights, not the fake Phoenix lights, not the flares.
Yeah.
The other Phoenix lights, you know. And, you know, my mind just goes like, damn, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
You know, if that was man-made, why would they make something like that?
I don't think it was man-made. The reason that I'm not as interested in UFOs is the same reason that I'm not as interested in Bigfoot. Because, one, I think it's pretty plausible that there's probably aliens, okay? Whether they visited Earth or not, you know, that's a different question. But, you know, obviously there's life somewhere else in the fucking universe, obviously. Yeah. So it's not that crazy to me.
Well, it's not paranormal. It's just part of natural science.
Right. That's what I mean. It's not paranormal. Right. And also, same thing with Bigfoot. It's like, if there was a Bigfoot, I don't think there is, but if there was, it's like, big deal. It's just a big monkey or it's just a big hairy person.
Some people are going to say, oh no, it's paranormal. It's a spirit. That's why we can't find the tracks anymore. So they just use that to justify.
Yeah. Well, they're just pulling that out of their ass. Okay. And also, I would like to, I know this is like not anything to do with the topic, but we'll get to it in a minute. But I was going to say, here's the funny thing about what fucking channel is that? Is it Discovery or Destination America or whatever?
Which one?
And it's like, you know how they had the show? They had the show Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And now they have one called Killing Bigfoot. I'm like, dude, you haven't even Finding Bigfoot. You can't Killing Bigfoot until you Finding
and
Bigfoot.
And then that fat redneck jumps up. You can't kill Bigfoot. They're killing people.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
And then what was the other one where they're diving into the holes with their shotguns and everything?
See, I think that was Finding Bigfoot.
Finding Bigfoot.
I think that was called. There are so many Bigfoot.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. You can't run around making all that noise with headlights and shotguns. We're looking for Bigfoot.
They have not found Bigfoot.
No. If there's a Bigfoot, it's going to be up in Canada or up in Washington State or way down in one of those national parks where man hasn't set foot in thousands of years. Maybe there's something like a Bigfoot, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, me too.
I think they'd have found it by now.
Yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
Especially something that big. Yeah, but anyway,
let's get on to the show.
Okay, well, before we go, I wanted to say Project Entertainment Network, go to their Patreon, give them a buck or two. Also, we are probably going to start a Patreon.
Oh, I forgot about that.
At some point in the next few months, whenever I get around to doing it.
We'll probably make an official announcement video when we do a Patreon.
Yeah.
It'll probably be just a simple Patreon where, you know, you can donate 5, 10, 15, or 20 or something like that. We're not going to do it by units. Like, there's a bunch of different ways where they can pay. I would just do it like 5, 10, 15.
Yeah, it'll just be some simple shit.
Yeah, and you guys can pay whatever you want just to keep show rolling, you know, give us incentive to keep making these things.
Yeah, even though we just don't fun. So anyway, okay. God, we just fucking blabbed on and on for 8 hours.
That was 8 minutes.
Seemed like 8 hours. Yeah. So anyway, okay, so the topic today, we are talking about Greyfriars Kirkyard.
Yeah, I heard of this one. You were telling me.
In Edinburgh, Scotland. And like I said, I wrote about this in my book, specifically The Poltergeist, but it's actually kind of an interesting, you know, place other than that. But it was actually established in the 1500s. The reason it's called Greyfriars is because there used to be a priory there, or a friary rather, and the friars wore grey robes. So
they wore grey robes?
Yeah. So after that was dissolved, in 1559, then they put the churchyard there. Okay. Now, Greyfriars is also, I just thought I would mention this because it's kind of a cute story. If you've heard the story of Greyfriars Bobby, he is a little Skye Terrier who was owned by, it was either a policeman or it could have been a farmer. They're not really sure. His name was John Grey, and he had this little dog. And the dog, apparently, after his owner died, he like sat on the dog and on his owner's grave for like, he came back and sat on the owner's grave for like 14 years
Wow.
until he died himself. And then they buried him in Greyfriars Kirkyard, and now there's like a little statue of him.
Okay.
It's like a little statue of him, like on top of, there's like a water fountain for people, and then at the bottom there's a little water fountain for dogs.
Okay. Cool.
But it's said too, this, and not to shit on anyone's Cheerios or anything, because there's like a big thing about the most loyal dog in Scotland and why can't people be that loyal and stuff like that. But a lot of naysayers say that, oh, well, it wasn't the same dog. There were a lot of stray dogs, that lived in the graveyard and people would feed them. So they stayed there and then
lived. It was a good story.
Though. Yeah. So this story kind of built up around it. So, you know, I don't know if that's true, but Greyfriars Bobby, there's a little statue of him there.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about mostly is the Black Mausoleum.
Right? Already sounding good.
It's already sounding good, yeah. The Black Mausoleum. Now, the Black Mausoleum is the tomb of a person named Sir George Mackenzie.
All right.
Now, he was, in the 17th century, he was a judge and Lord Advocate, and he was put in power by King Charles II. In Scotland to this day, he is still known as Bloody Mackenzie.
No.
And the reason he's known as Bloody Mackenzie was because in the late 1600s, apparently there was this big schism where it was like a big religious schism, right? It's like the king wanted everyone to be, I believe it was it Episcopalian, right?
Okay.
Because that was going to be the official church religion. And then there were this big group of people called the Covenanters, so-called because they would not sign the covenant to become Episcopalian because they were Presbyterian.
Okay.
And they were horribly prosecuted.
Prosecuted or persecuted?
Persecuted, okay. Like I said, and prosecuted also, yeah. I guess. Kind of.
Right.
Because they refused to sign and they wouldn't give up their beliefs. Now, there was a huge battle in 1679 and a bunch of the Covenanters were captured. It was called the Battle of Bothwell Bridge. 3,000 of them were captured and they were brought to Greyfriars Kirkyard by Bloody Mackenzie, where he hanged some of them, mm-hmm. he beheaded some of them and put their heads up on pikes so everyone could see it. He also tortured a bunch of them. And some of them went free, but some of them were imprisoned and stuff like that. So there's this big area of the kirkyard is now called Covenanter's Prison. It was basically like a big open air. It was like a concentration camp.
Right.
Basically is what
this
it was.
This is what I want to know.
What's that?
What is the difference between an Episcopalian and a Presbyterian?
Well, now, see, that was another thing that I was going to say.
Yeah, what like, is the really, difference?
There doesn't seem like much difference. To me, there does. Back, it was a big deal. I guess it was a big deal. I'm not actually sure what the difference is.
They're probably just the way they interpreted the word.
Yeah. Well, that's all it ever is. Yeah, that's what all it ever is. But so, some of the Covenanters, like I said, most of them were killed horribly, tortured. Some of them were put on a boat, shipped off to Australia. Over the time that this Lord Advocate, Sir George Mackenzie, was in power, they estimate that he killed or was responsible for the death of 18,000 of these people, religious dissenters.
Dang. Right? Okay.
18,000.
So this isn't just a slight skirmish. This is actually a civil war.
More or less. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
And they still, in Scotland, still to this day, they refer to that period as the killing time.
Right.
And it's funny because it seemed like, by all accounts, this Sir George Mackenzie person, and, you know, if you see, like, I'll put a picture of him in the YouTube video, but he just looks like, you know, a 16th, 17th century dude with his wig and everything like that. But they said that he was actually, you know, he was a normal person. He had a family. He was, like, you know, real smart. He wrote books and all this other kind of shit. But still, did not like those Presbyterians.
I bet there was more to it than just religion. Just it probably had to do with land and money.
It usually does. That's
land,
usually
money,
does
and, kind of. And politics, who was trying to get on the throne, probably all kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's never just religion.
Yeah. So, you know, so this dude killed 18,000 people, right? He died, and they bury him in Greyfriars Kirkyard. He has a beautiful, it's actually quite a beautiful tomb. Like I said, the Black Mausoleum. Ironically, many of the Covenanters that he killed are also buried right near there, which now, I'm sure they're kind of pissed off about in the afterlife.
Now, is it black, or they just call it black?
It's hard to, like, in some pictures, it does look black.
Okay, it's probably dark gray or something.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, so it does look black in some pictures, but then in some pictures in bright daylight, it just looks gray.
Okay.
But, so this tomb, sat quietly from, you know, the 17th century until 1998. In 1998, so the story goes, a homeless man was in the cemetery. And he was either, now some stories have it, you know, oh, there was a bad storm and he was looking for shelter, so he decided to break into a mausoleum, because, like you do.
Right.
Or that he was just, you know, looking for stuff to steal. So, you know, like looking to loot a tomb.
All right.
So he breaks into the black mausoleum.
Because
it has these doors on it with this, like, kind of grating on the front. He breaks in there and he's fiddle fucking around. What?
No. Okay, I'm just saying, he's going to say to the audience, it kind of looks like the tomb on the cover of Judas Priest's Sin After Sin album.
See, I don't remember what that looks like. Now I'm going to have to go look
that up. Now these metalheads are going to go, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It might do. Well,
I saw it. It kind of looked
like it. Is it the same one?
No, it's not the same tomb.
Okay. Well, maybe it's the same,
like, same kind of style.
Or whatever. Yeah. Okay, so this homeless man, he breaks into the tomb, right? And then he starts fiddle fucking around and saying, hey, maybe there's some, like, valuables in some of these coffins.
So
he
decides he's going to become a grave robber.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Now we're back to grave robbing again.
Yeah, he's a grave robber.
He wasn't having sex with any of the corpses, though, that we know of.
Man, knock it off.
So he breaks into, like, some of the coffins and stuff like that. Now, while he's breaking into some of the coffins, he either falls in a pit behind him that he didn't see, or he crashes through the floor.
So there's two different stories.
Yeah, it's like it's two or three levels down is what it is.
Okay. How could, this is the part that I don't understand. You've got a mausoleum. How could there be levels below it? How does that work out?
What ends up happening, I guess, is that over time, like I said, when years pass, like, shit, you bury people under there, and then you said, oh, we're going to build a mausoleum on top of that.
Okay.
And then, you know what I mean?
All right.
Shit happens.
All right. So it wasn't part of the initial plan of the mausoleum. It just had, like, it wasn't initially planned to be, like, a triple decker.
No. Well, evidently not, because when this homeless man crashed through the floor, he fell into an unknown, I guess, in a previously unrecorded pit. Where evidently they had thrown a bunch of plague victims back in the day before the mausoleum was built.
Okay.
And accounts differ. Now, some say that he fell in the pit and it was, like, because the pit had been sealed off, that the bodies weren't entirely, like, some of them were partly mummified and, like, some of them still had hair and, like, ragged clothing and they still stunk, like, it still smelled like.
And they would have been down there for how long? Maybe 500 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Damn.
So then he said it was, like, all slimy and gross.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, even if it wasn't.
I kind of have a hard time believing that.
Even if it wasn't, that'd still be pretty upsetting that if you fall in a pit and it's just full of skeletons and shit. Just be like Poltergeist when she fell in the fucking pool outside.
I would think after 500 years that they'd probably just be dust, though, wouldn't they?
You would think that, wouldn't you? And especially, I don't know, though. Okay. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, like those fucking, what are those, like, mummies that fall in the bog, like the bog people, stuff like that. Maybe it was that kind of situation.
I don't know. Are there any photos of this?
I don't know. I found photos of the hole.
You found photos of the hole?
Yeah.
And you, okay, so then it happened.
And, like, some, and I did find one picture, like, when I was looking around, like, researching this, I did find one picture, and it looked like kind of a hole, and then there were, like, some, like, a bunch of bones and skeletons, but I'm not sure if that was the exact.
You think that might have been, that may have not have been.
That might have been another tomb at the graveyard.
Okay.
Because it was just tagged with that.
Huh.
With that graveyard.
So we're not sure.
So we're not sure.
Okay.
But evidently, so this guy fell in this hole.
Hold on, this photo, because I haven't seen the photo.
Yeah.
How far down is it until
you can't tell.
See the bones? Okay, you can't tell.
No. All right. I'm just telling what the legend is.
It's just legend.
This is what the legend is. But maybe it happened. I don't know.
All right.
So this homeless guy falls in this pit full of bodies.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Maybe it happened. You don't know. There was no way to find out.
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay, you'll get to it. All right.
So this homeless guy falls in the pit. There's dead bodies in there. Now he jumps out of the pit, understandably, and goes tearing off into the night. Meanwhile, there's a security guard walking around the kirkyard with his dog. And he's like, what's all that noise coming from that mausoleum over there? So he goes over to check it out and sees this homeless man tearing ass out of this mausoleum.
Okay.
Looking like shit, because I guess he fell in there. He fell was down, all slimy or stinky or whatever.
Right.
And he's like running like, holy shit, oh my God. Right, and he runs out of the cemetery, never to be seen again.
Oh, now, okay. It's sounding legendary. According to me. This is sounding mythic to
now,
me.
Yeah. So okay. Then, like, according to accounts, the security guard quit the next day.
That also sounds
yeah,
like
because legend. He said, now, because not all accounts say that, but some do.
Because
some in, say in, he's in, like, I quit.
In this tale, or at least in this
because I don't know if he thought the homeless guy was a ghost or
this,
what.
This is what's striking me about this tale. In this version of the legend, both primary witnesses are not available. They're gone.
Yeah, see, that's
see, that's problematic to me, but it's a good story. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
What happens next?
So, okay, so apparently the security guy sees this guy running. He quits the next day or whatever.
Taking a rip off this thing. I have to vape, man. I know they complain about it, but go ahead. Okay.
Well, it's all right. We can't hear them complaining. We can't hear them. We just see them type it, and then I can just delete it.
All right, I interrupted
so
you.
So it might as well have not happened.
No, hearing the story is making me nervous. Go ahead.
Why is it making you nervous?
I don't know.
Nothing. I swear to God, no one is going to have sex with a dead person. Okay. I just have to keep bugging you about it because it's so funny that you get so uncomfortable. That's just hilarious to me. So like I said, before this homeless man fell into this pit, no one evidently had ever reported any paranormal activity around this particular tomb, even though its occupant was one of the most reviled historical figures in Scottish history. However, it's said that this homeless person, by knocking a hole in the floor, unleashed some type of, I don't know what.
It's like he broke down through the doorway down into the gates of hell.
It's pretty much like that.
That's how
pretty
the story
much
goes.
Like that.
Okay.
And since we're coming up to the halfway point.
Already?
Yeah.
Damn.
More or less.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a break now, and then after the break, we'll talk about what maybe got unleashed by this poor man falling through the floor into the dead body hole.
Yeah. I still would like to see a photograph of that.
Well, I'll see if I can find one, but I couldn't really find one.
All right.
All right. So we're going
to. I'm getting suspicious. I'm just going to say that to the audience. Something about this that really isn't jiving at this point.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. I'm telling you what they're trying. It's a story. It's a good story.
It's a good story.
And like I said, it's in my book, and you know.
I'm going to reserve my judgment.
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve my judgment.
Don't get all.
I'm not getting defensive.
Okay. I'm going to bring up necrophilia again get that way. All right. So we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, Project Entertainment Network presents The Mondo Method. Introducing the mentor, he's the greatest manager of all time, Mondo Guerrero! And, parts unknown, up-and-coming superstar, the Great Buddha!
Okay, so their names are really Armand Rosamelia and Chuck Buddha. And old man Armand is going to teach Whippersnapper Chuck how to write a book. And maybe you too, while they're at it. With marketing morsels from Aaron Sweet Alvahari, exclusively on Project Entertainment Network.
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13 o'clock for a 10% discount. Subculturecorsets.com or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Watch out. There's a new terror taking over kitchens around the world. Thrills, chills, mad cooking skills.
It Cooks, a weekly podcast brimming with recipes, tips, food finds, seasonal specials, and guests galore. Hosted by horror author Amber Fallon. Hey, that's me. A foodie with over 20 years experience cooking, baking, and generally making a nuisance of herself. You've watched Food Network, you've read cookbooks, but nothing can prepare you for It Cooks, coming to a device near you.
Hollow Earth. Graphic design by Jenny Ashford. Specializing in posters and flyers. Special rates for bands and artists. Quick turnaround times. Books and CD covers. Consultations through email or Skype. Logos and packaging. Payment through PayPal. Ads and promo materials. Satisfaction guaranteed. Visit the Facebook page at Hollow Earth Design or email hecate80@hotmail.com.
All right, we're back. Okay, so homeless guy falls through the pit of the Black Mausoleum, once belonging to, you know, Sir George Mackenzie, bit of a bastard, if as the English would say. And pretty much, now it was either the next day or 2 days after this alleged incident. A woman was at the cemetery, and she peeked in through the little window there on the door.
Right.
And she claims that a huge cold wind, like, knocked her back off her feet, right?
Blowing through a little door.
Blowing through the little window. Yeah, if you see, like, it's double doors and there's, like, little square, with, like, a little bit of, like, iron grating over them. Now, a couple days after that, another woman, shut up, another woman. What?
We were watching Star Trek last night.
Yeah, that's right.
Whenever the ship gets hit by something and they all start rolling down one side or the other and had Kirk rolling around in the damn chair. Imagine her doing that with the wind blowing.
The best one, and I can't, because we watch, like, because you know on BBC America, like on Friday nights, they do like a bunch of old Star Treks. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we were watching some of them. I can't remember what episode it was. But holy shit, like one of the red shirts in that one, in the background, he totally did like a really nice, like gymnastic looking flip and everything.
He flipped over, He won his Academy Award.
I was going to say, that guy probably, like, he got home and he told his mom, look, that's me, doing the flip in the background.
Yeah, that was the one that had the giant space amoeba, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, the immunity syndrome, whatever that's called. I think that's the one it was. But yeah, watch out for that. It was delightful.
It was hilarious.
So, okay, so this woman said she was blasted off her feet by like a cold wind or like something pushing her. Now, a couple days after that, another woman was found in the kirkyard by the tomb unconscious, and she had like strangle marks around her neck.
Okay.
And when she woke up, she said that an invisible person had tried to strangle her.
Okay.
And also, they found a man. Like, not the same day, but I think it was, you know, the same week or whatever. They also found a man unconscious by the tomb.
Now, hold on one second.
Okay.
Are all these witnesses documented? Do they actually have these witnesses and their testimony?
Now, the first woman, I don't think they have her name. These first three people, I don't think they have their name. They just find these unconscious people. I'm just telling you the
this
story.
This is a good story.
Yeah, I'm just telling you the story.
We'll see.
Okay, so all these people turning up unconscious around it. And plus, like, now it was dangerous because the hole was open and all this other stuff. So the Edinburgh City Council says, okay, well, we're going to block off the mausoleum and keep the public away from it until we figure out what's going on.
Okay, and now is this part documented? Did the city council actually do that? Or is somebody telling us that the city council
did? No, they did that.
Okay.
And actually, if you look, there's pictures online.
That does lead to...
There's pictures online of a sign that's on the thing. Okay. That, you can't...
So that makes it plausible that maybe there was some problems there.
Yeah, there obviously was something going on because the city council did say, okay... They restricted access to.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a couple more points.
Okay.
Cred points.
Bing. Cred points.
Just
okay.
a couple. Yeah.
Now, there was a local writer in Edinburgh, and his name was Jan Andrew Henderson, and he petitioned the council. He said, "Can I conduct tours of the mausoleum?" And they said he could, but they said, "Now you can't go around the mausoleum unless you're part of the tour."
Right.
So he started a company called, I think it's called Black Heart Entertainment or Black something like Black Heart something. And he started like a quote unquote ghost tour to show people the mausoleum. Like, I think they go all around it's called the City of the Dead Tour. So I guess you can go all around the kirkyard, and they talk about all the different, because there's like a lot of famous like people buried there and stuff too. But, you know, the Black Mausoleum is kind of the highlight of it. And you can't go to the Black Mausoleum unless you're part of this tour, like the official tour. Okay. Now, since that happened, like since the tour started, the website, now I don't know if the council keeps track of this or if the website of the tour company keeps track of this. They have reported almost 500 incidents of paranormal activity, most of it violent, most of it directed toward people in the tour group.
Okay, back up. Who reports this again?
People on the tours.
And they're, okay, so the people from the tours are reporting this.
Are reporting
this. And they're reporting it to whom?
They report it to the tour company. The tour company keeps a record, and they take photographs and things like that.
Okay.
So they're not sure, like I said, I don't think any paranormal activity was reported before the dude fell through the floor. So now they're thinking that this guy falling through the floor, this is either the ghost of Bloody McKenzie coming back to fuck with shit again in life, or it's all the ghosts of the plague victims that are mad about their sleep being interrupted, I suppose.
Now, what is actually being reported?
Okay, so here are the things that are interrupted, are reported. Most common reported, people blacking out. Okay. There have been about almost 200 reports of that, people going unconscious. Okay. And they said that happens pretty often on tours. Usually at least one person will black out, okay? People report being scratched or hit. And then later on, and there's pictures of it online, then later on they'll have these strange, you know, their back will be covered with scratches, or their arms will be covered with scratches, or they'll have burn marks.
Hmm.
And sometimes they show up while they're still on the tour. Sometimes they don't show up until afterward.
Hmm. Most of that stuff's kind of subjective.
Right.
And could be faked.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it didn't happen. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, people also have reported strange noises, knocking, growling, laughter.
All right.
People report fires.
Okay. Fires where? Any details on that?
Well, here's the thing. The guy that runs the tour.
Mm-hmm.
The Henderson person. Now he later wrote a book about the McKenzie poltergeist. I think it was called The Ghost That Haunted Itself, because he lived across the street from the cemetery for a while. So he kind of got interested in it. It should be noted that his house and the tour offices burned down mysteriously. Like apparently the insurance investigators couldn't find any cause for them.
Maybe those insurance wires got crossed.
Yeah, you know how that happens.
Caused a few sparks.
You know how that happens.
Yeah,
so like another thing that people report too, they report like pieces of their skin being gouged out.
Huh.
You know, but other things, you know, bruises, stuff like that. And a lot of people say they feel nauseated. You know, that's subjective. That's subjective also. Sorry, I burped. that was pretty gross. Also, dead animals are often found around the tomb, like in larger numbers than you would expect, let's say. Also, evidently there are four houses very close to the cemetery, like around the cemetery, that have also reported poltergeist activity in the form of small fires, object apportations, and, you know, dishes and shit flying around.
Okay.
So they're not super sure. I don't know how true the story is about the homeless man falling. Because the only, like, no one names the homeless man, obviously, and he never turned up again.
Right.
And in every, you know, in every source of the story, you know, it says the security guard saw him and freaked out. Some of them say he quit the next day, but none of them can give his name.
Yeah, that's suspicious. And let me ask you this. Is there any record of them repairing the floor inside that mausoleum?
Yeah, see, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously something weird happened there, or there was something going on around there. I don't know if it was vandals or something like that, because the city council did intervene and they said people, you know, they didn't want people to go around it anymore.
A lot of the stuff that's being reported around this tour to me is kind of suspicious. Everything kind of sounds like that would be in the tour's advantage for that kind of stuff to happen.
Right. And see, that's...
I mean, what happens, you know, you find dead animals, let's take them down to where the tour is and throw those down in there. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll have a buddy hide behind this tombstone and make it howl or laugh when the tour goes through. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe the tour doesn't do that well unless, you know, maybe those insurance wires get crossed in the on the tour and where the guy lives, burn that down, cash in on it. I'm not saying.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, see, and that's the problem. And like I said, I ran into this a lot when I was writing my book, of which this is going to be, it's going to be in there. You don't know, really. I mean, and in this case, it does seem like there's a little bit of a profit motive because, yeah, this guy wrote a book about the thing. You know, he obviously gives tours and tourists go there, and apparently it's fairly successful.
Right.
This ghost tour that he does. And also, and I love this, Scotland, I love you because this is so awesome. They have like a little gift shop at Greyfriars Kirkyard. Yeah. And the gift shop is called the Creepy Wee Gift Shop. Creepy Wee. Because, you know, in Scotland, everything is tiny wee.
I see.
Tiny. So it's Creepy Wee.
Not feeling it.
So I thought it was darling. No. I don't know why you're hating.
I got too much testosterone to find that darling.
Well, that's your problem. But now some people are super hardcore about this, right?
I'll tell you one thing. I would like to go see this.
Right.
Just to get a feel for the place. You know, I don't want to talk bad about the guy who's running the tour. I don't want to talk bad about this situation. I really do. You know, I would encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah.
Just to see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling skeptical. But I would like to go see it.
I mean, it does seem like, okay.
And I've been skeptical before and I've been wrong for being skeptical, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm still just kind of hemming and hawing on this one a little bit. I need to know more.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Now there are some witness accounts.
Okay.
Now this guy who's unnamed, he wants to remain anonymous. He was a police officer.
Okay.
But he
Hold on. An anonymous police officer?
Yeah, well, he used to be a police officer.
And it's anonymous.
And he says he doesn't want his name.
So we can't prove it.
Right.
Yeah,
but this is what he said.
We can't prove this, but this is what he said. That this unprovable man actually said this, but let's say what this unprovable man said. Because he's not going to step forward. He's anonymous. I can pull an anonymous anything out of my ass, you know.
Right.
Come on.
Well, this is what
he said. Okay, let's see what he said.
This is what he said.
Right.
Now, he went on the tour, right?
Okay.
He said, after the tour, I decided to go back to our hotel room. I was glancing at The Ghost That Haunted Itself, which was the book about the Mackenzie Poltergeist.
Okay.
When I felt a sharp burning sensation.
This sounds like a plug.
I know. When I felt a sharp... Well, shut up. Let me read it.
Okay.
When I felt a sharp burning sensation on the right side of my neck, there were at least five deep scrapes that appeared just under my Adam's apple. On returning home the next morning, I went straight to my mother's house and told her my tale, along with handing her the book, which I decided I did not want in my home. Yesterday, I phoned her and asked her what she thought of the book. Remarkably, she was just examining five large scratches under her Adam's apple that were identical to my own. I'm not the sort of individual who frightens easily, but hand on heart, I'm very frightened now. The phenomenon you have in that graveyard prison is very real, he says. Okay. Whether this is a real person or not,
sounds like a plug for the book.
I was going to say, that almost kind of sounds like, and if you're a real person, dude, I'm sorry, but it sounds like, you know how some of those like restaurant owners will go on Yelp?
On Yelp and
give themselves a really good review. Like,
exactly.
This is the best restaurant ever. And
this book is so scary. We don't want it in our house.
And the owner is so handsome and awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of feel like it's that kind of thing. They do warn you, like I have a little bit of, there's videos of it on YouTube.
You sure this is not the Scottish version of the Blarney Stone? I think this might be the Scottish version of the Blarney Stone.
Well, it's not as well known as the Blarney Stone.
Okay.
But like I said.
You know they piss on that Blarney Stone.
Who does?
The tour guides and Irish people.
Yeah.
When I was living in Boston, I dated an Irish girl and she told me, you know, yeah, they make all the foreigners kiss this Blarney Stone, and at night when the tours aren't there, we come out of the bar and fucking piss on that thing.
That totally sounds like something I would do.
The Irish are doing that shit, you know. And they say, they come here to see their ancestors and all their ancestors are dead.
That's hilarious.
Don't tell the Irish that you're there to see your ancestors.
Okay, right? So, you know, if you ever go to Ireland, don't kiss the Blarney Stone.
Don't kiss that
pro
tip. Blarney Stone. And don't tell them that you're there to see your ancestors.
Yeah, they probably tend
they
not
to. They laugh
like
at you
that.
And tell them they're all dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, here was another thing. Also, they also, a lot of people reported, like, weird smells, sulfur, that kind of thing. Like, it was from hell, obviously. Mm. I guess that's why sulfur. Mm. Now, they've also had a couple people in to do exorcisms.
Okay.
A spiritualist minister named Colin Grant.
So at least we have a name.
Yeah. He okay. did an exorcism. Now, his son did one a year later. Neither of them worked, evidently, but...
I have a question. Okay. I have a question. Why would a profitable tour want to get rid of their cash cow by exercising it away? Did they do it?
You know, I don't know. It just says exorcisms were performed in the passive voice.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. Like,
We do have a name for that.
Here's the thing. Would the city council call in an exorcist? I doubt it.
No, that's
good. Would an exorcist, maybe an exorcist would just go there of their own volition.
Maybe that happened.
But that could be.
And then they claimed, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Kind of odd. Okay. But no, this is a good string of blarney.
Even though that's Irish. Yeah. I'm never going to forget. I wouldn't kiss
that. Do not kiss that of blarney.
Well, I wouldn't do that anyway because that's fucking gross.
All right.
Go ahead. Even if people weren't pissing on it, that's still not very sanitary, I'm just saying. But, so Colin Grant was a minister and he did an exorcism. Now his son did one a year later. However, the first one that Colin Grant did, he did the exorcism. It didn't work. And then a couple, like, I don't know how soon it was after that. Some people said a week, some people said 2 weeks. Colin Grant mysteriously died.
Okay.
Of a heart attack or they're not really sure why.
Did this guy actually exist?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
All right, okay.
I never met the guy.
Okay.
I never met the guy. So they don't know if, like, you know, the ghost got him. Like,
right.
That's the only, like, death, really, I think.
Now,
when
you wrote about the case, what did you say? I mean, is he included in this part of the story?
Yeah.
He is? Okay.
Yeah.
And could you find out whether or not he actually existed? You have to go back in there before they hit the print and fucking tweak that shit up.
I just go by sources, okay?
You just went by the source that said it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Several different sources say a minister named Colin Grant was there. Okay. He did an exorcism.
All right.
And then several different sources say that a week or two later, he was dead.
Okay.
Now, his son did an exorcism, too. And as far as I know, his son's still alive. So it didn't get him.
All right.
But,
just checking.
Yeah. Now, so, like I said, there are also several houses around the tomb that have reported poltergeist activity, dishes flying around and stuff like that. And as I mentioned before, the writer who runs the tours, in 2003, a fire, you know, pretty much demolished his house and his offices. And he said that he lost everything, like even all the information he had about the poltergeist, like all his, all his shit.
Okay.
Gone. So he said the only reason he still had a few things was because he had some files on a different computer, but he said that, so his house and office were destroyed. And he did not want to, he said, well, after that, I didn't really want to live around the cemetery anymore, understandably.
Yeah.
And, he said, I read an interview with him. And, you know, he said the insurance investigators came and they could not find any arson. They couldn't find any reason for it or anything like that. He said, it wasn't me, I promise.
Okay, well,
he's
then,
like,
you know,
I wouldn't burn down my own shit.
Maybe I judged the man too hard. Either that or he's just really skilled.
He might be. I mean, he might be committed, man. You don't know. It's like, I'm going to burn my own shit down.
I know how they work. I know how to do this. Set it here right by the water heater.
Because that's how that goes.
Yeah.
But, so like I said, and also this is not super relevant, but they said that in 2004, they actually arrested like two teenage boys who had broken into the tomb, stolen a skull, and were kicking it around like a soccer ball.
Okay. Okay. Well, there's a contributing bit of evidence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shenanigans going on and tomfoolery going on.
Shenanigans and
tomfoolery going on inside that cemetery.
And jiggery pokery.
And jiggery pokery that may have actually inspired the creation of this case.
I said, yeah. Because, I mean, these two kids got caught in 2004.
Right. Maybe that's why they roped off the cemetery and down.
No, it was roped off in 1998.
Maybe it started all the way back there in 98.
Yeah, maybe. So people might have been just...
Because of the chicanery.
Yes. I was actually going to say that word. You beat me to it. Ever since the guy burst through the floor, almost 500 reports, and they keep a detailed log. Mm-hmm. If you go on the tour and something bad happens to you, you get hit or you pass out or you throw up or you get, broken fingers. That's also a very commonly reported thing.
Wait, hold on. Your fingers get broken. Okay, now, hold on. Are these broken fingers confirmed?
I don't know. All I saw was some
pictures.
Reported.
Reported.
Okay. I saw some pictures of some x-rays and some broken fingers.
If we can get a confirmed broken finger out of there, doctors and everything, okay. Maybe even on video, I would give this a little more cred points.
See, here's what's killing me, though, because if this is something paranormal, I'm not as weirded out by the whole paranormal. It's like, something scratched me and then there's scratches on your back. How would it just break your finger? You just be standing there, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden,
Well, how did you handle this case in the book when you wrote about it?
I basically, like I said, in
like,
most of
like you're handling it now, basically?
Well, I'm not laughing at it in the book. Because in the book, I wrote down the shit that people said they saw.
Okay, all right.
That's all.
Because that's all you can really do.
That's what I mean. I wasn't like editorializing.
Did you give an opinion afterwards?
Not on that particular one, no.
All right.
I just said, this is what, so I said, ever since people go on the tours. Now, a lot of people go on the tours and nothing happens.
Right.
Okay. But, it's often enough, and they say sometimes there'll be a few weeks or a month or something where nothing really happens on the tours, and then suddenly there'll be a flurry.
Okay.
They'll have a tour group and a couple people will pass out and a person will get bit or something like that.
Right.
Or they'll hear some shit. Some people have taken pictures and there's weird light anomalies front of the shit, and it's not orbs, it's weird ghosty looking things.
Okay. Well, I think, our regular audience will know that, I am not a disbeliever. I have actually seen real paranormal phenomena before in the form of traditional poltergeist or classic poltergeist in terms of, what a parapsychologist would say, which is, basically RSPK. So I'm not a disbeliever, but I am automatically skeptical of any kind of tours, not necessarily just this one, any tour, I'm skeptical. Any of these haunted hotels, skeptical.
Because they have a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason for all.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's bullshit. Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean I'm saying this guy's full of shit. I wouldn't go. No, hell no. I'd go on that tour. I'd go on that tour just because I'm curious.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I'd go on it. I'd like to see.
Plus, I got to say that the Greyfriars Kirkyard is gorgeous.
Yeah,
I would love to go see it.
And if this is a hoax, then it's a profitable business, and then kudos to the dude.
He
made a good story. Is a story enough where I'd like to go see it?
I totally want to go to the creepy wee gift shop.
Yeah,
but also
I'd want to go just to see if that floor is busted out inside that mausoleum. But I guarantee they got that door shut.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they let you actually go inside the tomb. It's not very big. The tomb isn't very big. It's not like you're thinking
giant. It's just like the one on the Sin After Sin album cover.
Yeah,
from Judas
it's just
Priest.
Like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that you might find interesting because I know, you and me, we kind of talk about what could cause poltergeist activity because basically, even though they said now the paranormal activity allegedly didn't start until, the tomb was broken into, so leading some people to believe that it's a ghost, quote unquote, an angry ghost. But see, most of the activity that's reported is very poltergeist-like.
Okay.
Now,
it's not a poltergeist situation.
Right, because it's been going on for years and years. It's been going on for...
More like interactive haunting.
Right, but here's the thing, and you might find this interesting because I don't think I've ever heard anyone espouse this
particular... If it's real, this is an interactive haunting, probably. Okay.
Because I don't think I've ever heard anyone espouse this particular theory about poltergeist causation before. And actually, now I should add this to the book, because I never heard this before, ever.
All right.
But apparently the people, the tour guides, will say this on the tour because... the like I said, the houses around the tomb also have some poltergeist activity. And people that have been on the tour said that the shit followed them back home. Like when they got back home or when they got back to their hotels, light bulbs would explode, that kind of shit.
Kind of like
activity.
The haunted mansion at Disneyland.
Right, right, right.
They
yeah,
go,
it's
I'm
following
home with
you home.
You. Okay.
But like I said, so somebody came up, I think it was Alan Gald, maybe, who I think I mentioned in my book in another case. He came up with the theory that poltergeist activity is related to human pheromones. Have you ever heard that theory before?
No.
I didn't think we'd ever talk about that.
No, never heard that one.
Because I was kind of...
I was thinking maybe related to mass psychology. Maybe like a group of people might get psychically keyed up and actually
manifest they have.
It.
They have, yeah.
But
people have floated that idea
but
too.
But I never thought of the idea that...
I think, and actually in a way, I think they're kind of saying the same thing. Like people's pheromones are mixing in weird ways. And also they said this might explain why poltergeist activity tends to happen around adolescence.
With a bunch of witnesses.
With a bunch of, yeah, and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's how mine happened.
Right.
And I always thought there was a group synergy behind it, but I don't think it has anything to do with hormones, but or pheromones.
Yeah.
In terms of like group
said,
pheromones.
Right.
Maybe pheromones and hormones coming out of the actual adolescent.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never thought of it that way. I'd have to see some evidence.
Yeah. Because they said, well, that would explain why poltergeist activity, like I said, generally happens around adolescence, and also why in this particular case it supposedly follows people home, like certainly follows people home. Like maybe some people are like pheromonally, predisposed to have poltergeist follow them around. I don't know, but that I had actually never heard that.
That's a different interpretation of what
hypothesis
of what I've said and what other.
That's what I mean. That's why I thought I would mention.
Parapsychologists have said going back to the '50s.
Because
it's just a play on that, almost kind of like somebody regurgitating a misunderstanding. If you ask me.
Well, because like I said, there was actually a paper. I think it was in 2004, and I think I mentioned this in this book. There was a paper in a journal called Neuroquantology,
mm-hmm.
and they posited that
take a rip off that thing. I can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. My nerves.
Why? Why are you nervous?
Just joking.
Okay.
I just need a hit. It's like you need to take a hit off a cigarette.
Okay. But, so in this paper, they said a similar thing. They said that, that maybe when adolescents go through puberty, that there's some kind of like weird electron fluctuations in the brain that can cause effects outside of the body for a brief period of time.
Okay.
So that's almost like saying it's pheromone related. I just never heard anybody specifically mention pheromones.
That's just a more,
to do with, yeah.
That's just a more primitive description of Dr. Hameroff's, quantum soul theory.
Yes, yeah,
that's all that is. It's just a different way of describing that same fact. It's the same thing I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought I'd mention pheromones because I'd never heard that mentioned before.
Well, I think hormonal imbalances and stressors and things like that could actually cause this condition where, some kind of subatomic particles, on the Planck scale, quantum particles can somehow interact with other quantum particles at a distance in the same way you have spooky action at a distance, But, the one that really, and I'm not the one to answer that, that'd be Stuart Hameroff's job to describe that. That can be pretty complicated. Anybody who tells you that they understand quantum physics is lying. Because the guys that understand quantum physics don't understand quantum physics.
Well, it's just, it's not, our brains are not really, really evolve to understand that type of thing.
Right.
Because that's not how we perceive world around us.
How one particle can be in two different places at the same time. You know what I mean? That's just not, we're not built to understand that.
But,
it just means space and time or the space-time continuum is not as real as we think it is.
Yeah.
Or not as linear as
I mean, like I said, I'm always kind of, okay, now if we're saying that the Black Mausoleum, if there is something like sort of paranormal going on there, I almost find it more, I don't think it's a ghost or nothing like that. I almost think it's more interesting that all of the people going there, like expecting to see something.
Right. Might set the conditions.
Might somehow be able to, I don't know, like almost be like the catalyst for something happening. Like, cause that many people wanting something. I mean, you think that can have some kind of effect.
My default setting, especially when it comes to things like tours, like I said before, tours and haunted hotels, my default setting is skepticism.
Mine too.
I have to see it myself.
Yeah.
I'd see it myself. And, you know, I'd like to go and see.
Actually. Yeah, I would too. Because like sure. I said, you know, once they have a tour and stuff like that, it's kind of incentive to like hype it up. And
of course.
Go, oh, it's the most dangerous poltergeist. You're going to get bit. You're going to get stabbed.
Yeah, they're selling an experience. And when you sell an experience like that, who knows, you might have some chicanery and tomfoolery and all the things that, that they do over there.
And don't forget the jiggery pokers.
And you might have some of that mixed with maybe some mass hysteria and psychosomatic type.
Yeah.
Manifestation.
Because that's kind of the sad thing about this is it seems...
It's going to be kind of not in a controlled environment. So, you know. Oh, something bit me. Oh, really? Something bit you? Well, damn, we got to write that down. You know, and you can't really prove it. You know,
that's what I mean.
Something touched me.
And that's, and that's why I'm really, like, that I really can't get down with those ghost hunter shows and stuff like that. Because it's all, oh, did you hear that? Did you smell that? It's like, no, I'm not there, dude. Yeah. I can't, you know, oh, something touched me. It's like, there's no.
And it always tends to be some kind of young lady who doesn't normally get touched. It's always her saying, I guess, ooh. Oh, it touched me.
I wish someone would touch me.
I was finally touched.
Oh, man.
Okay, yeah. You're sending me down a pathway of darkness that I can't follow. Never mind.
Oh, darkness. I thought you said retardedness.
No. Both.
I was going to say, it was retardedness, too.
Both. Have we pretty much covered this now?
I think so, yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. We're almost at the end.
Yeah, look at the time.
Okay. So, anyway, what were we going to say at the end? Now I forgot what I was
going to say. I was going to say, I'd like to go see it. Go check it out.
Yeah. I actually would too. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Even if I'm
skeptical,
even if,
but I'd like to go check.
Even
it out.
If I don't get butt horked by a ghost,
shit.
It would still. I brought up butt horking. Yeah.
I made that up. We made that up when we were in high school playing a video game called Rastan.
Yeah.
It was like a Conan the Barbarian game, a bunch of running and jumping, kind of like Mario. And whenever he'd fall into the pits, there were some spikes over there, and it would land on his. It looked like it landed on his ass. And a friend of mine said, "Man, he got butt horked. His horse." Because he would make these weird,
So now to this day, like
everything is butt horking.
Everything is butt horking. Yeah. So now you guys can use that term.
Yeah,
too.
Butt hork.
That's how I'm going to hashtag this show.
I don't remember the exact sound effect Rastan would make when he landed on him, but maybe one of our viewers might remember.
Oh, it went right up my anus.
They might remember. Maybe you can find a sound bite and put that in.
I'm sure you can. See it.
Rastan. Dying.
That shit hurts, man.
Yeah.
Ask Vlad the Impaler. Uh-huh. He knows that's why he did that to everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, all right. So we're going to shut up now.
You shut up and let it ride.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the end of the show. And let's see. What do I usually say? Don't forget to go and check the... Project Entertainment.
And remember to plug
Patreon.
The shirts. We got some cool shirts. We got a new shirt you just did the other day.
Yeah, I just did a new logo shirt. It's kind of similar to the other one, but it's kind of like a different kind of vibe going on. And that is going to be available on the Project Entertainment Network store. Yeah.
And Jenny's wearing the Satanic Panic shirt. See, right this moment. See, you know, we just make our own cool t-shirts, huh?
That's right.
I know.
I just make my own fucking shit, make my own clothes. Well, I don't make them.
Yesterday, I was running around with a shirt of me and you on it.
Yeah.
Our little logo that says, you know, 13 o'clock.
That was so funny. You wore that in Walgreens the other day, and the lady behind the counter was
like, that's you guys.
Hey, that's you guys.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it is. And I said, we don't even look, you had shaved your head.
I was bald at the time.
So you didn't even look as much like you, but she's still recognized.
Yeah, I'm growing the hair back a little bit, though.
Yeah, I guess bald. I decided I like the hair better.
Yeah.
You look good bald, too, though.
I think I'm going to dye that blonde, you know.
Really?
Look like something off of Duran Duran.
You going to go Duran Duran again?
Yeah.
I liked the blonde hair.
Okay.
It was nice. So anyway, go to the Project Entertainment Network, their Patreon, and
look like Nick Rhodes.
Look at her.
put my mascara on.
Yeah, do it. It's all right. I won't tell anybody.
I'll wear it to the club. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know you do.
All right.
I know you do. So anyway, what?
I'm not going to put on mascara.
Why not?
I'm just not.
Okay.
End the show.
All right. Okay, well, since, musical interlude, since this is about Graveyard, I decided...
Don't announce it, just play it.
Okay.
Don't announce it, just play it.
All right, well, I'm not going to tell anybody what it is.
Surprise them with it.
Okay, I'll surprise you. It'll be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you like the show, remember, go follow us on Twitter, go like our Facebook page, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know how that goes. Okay, that's the end of the show, and come back next week for another rambling bullshit session.
That wasn't bullshit, right? Gotta go.
See you next week. Bye.
dreaded sunny days, so I'll meet you at the cemetery gates. Keats and Yeats are on your side. I dreaded sunny days, so I'll meet you at the cemetery gates. Keats and Yeats are on your side. Wild, wild is on mine.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.